This episode is brought to you by the awesome folks who support me on Patreon. A big shout out to my multi-tier supporters, Terence C, St. Peaches, Earl B, and Christina N. Moving on to the Tao tier, I want to express my gratitude to Bonkers and Carlu C. And last but not least, a massive thank you goes out to the incredible supporters of the Anito tier. Viren A, Jordan, Roman J, Philip, Mona, and Luna, Hannah, Diwatahan, and Rizzo. To all my wonderful supporters, thank you from the bottom of my heart for making this podcast happen. And if you, my dear listeners, if you want to help support the podcast, please head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod and choose the tier that fits your interest. Your support means the world to me and I can't wait to have you on board. Mabuhay and welcome to Tabitabi Podcast, a show where we explore the fascinating and often mysterious folklore of the Philippines. I am your host, Ethan. Hi, thanks for joining me today. Another week, another new episode. I hope you had a wonderful week and I hope you liked the episode last week. As of today's recording, an LPA is forming outside the Philippine area of responsibility. I don't know what will be the situation once this is uploaded, so please be careful. If you are in the Philippines, please make sure to tune into the radio or the TV for the news regarding the weather update. Please be vigilant. Please take care of yourself, okay? Also, if my voice seems a little bit off today, it's because I have a cold. And yeah, that's it. If you also have a cold, please rest, drink meds, and take care of yourself once again. And I don't think I have anything else to say, but yeah, with that said, why don't we get on with today's episode? So, settle in, my dear listeners, and let's begin. The sea. The sea covers over 71% of the Earth's surface. It's a mesmerizing world that balances beauty with danger. Its magnificence has a massive fascination frequently associated with enchantment and mystery. But it remains a mostly unexplored area for humans. We have merely scraped the surface of the sea, uncovering only a portion of its secrets, despite technological advances. The sea, with its colorful fishes and enticing aquatic creatures, hides a mysterious and sometimes frightening world beneath its waves. And what better way to describe a frightening aspect of the underwater world than the sea creatures that have been part of the mythological world? Sea creatures have long been a fascinating and essential part of mythology. While mermaids are often the focal point, portraying the enchanting beauty of the sea, they are by no means the sole mythical residents of the ocean. Various cultures around the world have crafted intricate stories featuring a myriad of sea creatures, each with its own unique characteristics and significance. For example, there are so many mythologies across the globe that have their own versions of sea mythical creatures. In Japanese folklore, naughty kappas, or humanoid beings with dish-like hats on their head, inhabit rivers and ponds. The Scandinavian kraken, a colossal sea monster resembling an octopus or squid, instills terror along the coasts of Norway and Greenland. Greek mythology introduces Nereids, sea nymphs, and daughters of the sea god Nereus, celebrated for their beauty and association with marine life. Meanwhile, Scottish and Irish folklore speaks of Selkies, mythical beings capable of transforming from seals into humans. Jengu from Sawa mythology in Cameroon are water spirits with alluring features believed to bring prosperity. In Inuit traditions, the Kalupalik, a green-skinned humanoid sea creature, lures unsuspecting children near Arctic waters. And lastly, Australia's Aboriginal folklore tells of the Bunyip, a mysterious water creature dwelling in swamps and rivers. In the Philippines, the renowned merfolk include the Sirenes and Shokois. However, these are not the sole representatives of our maritime mythology. Among the diverse sea creatures that populate our folklore, one notable entity is the mambubuno. A fish-like creature distinguished by its unique feature of having two tails. Legend has it that the mambubuno is said to find its dwelling in the beautiful province of Zambales. So where exactly is Zambales? As the second largest province in Central Luzon, Zambales spans an expansive area of 361,103 hectares. It shares its borders with Pangasinan to the north, Tarlac and Pampanga to the east, and Bataan to the south. Along its entire west stretch, Zambales is caressed by the crystal clear waters of the vast China Sea. The topography of Zambales is a captivating blend of irregular features characterized by coastal plains and valleys that extend from Lingayen Gulf in the north to Subic Bay in south, covering a 175-kilometer stretch of shoreline. Zambales, formally found in 1572 after exploration by Don Juan de Salcedo, has a rich history. Originally, it encompassed towns like Alaminos, Bolinao, San Isidro, Infanta, Anda, Bani, and Agno, which now belong to Pangasinan. Masinloc, founded in 1607, served as its former capital. The earliest inhabitants were the Malays from the Celebes Sea, alongside the Negritos and Aitas, characterized by kinky hair, who are still present in the province. Referred to as Zambali or Zambals, they worshipped Anitos, a practice that inspired the province's name derived from the Malay word Zamba, meaning to worship, as observed by the Spanish explorers. The mambubuno is a fascinating aquatic creature in the mythology of the Zambales people. Like I said earlier, its distinguishing trait of having twin tails rather than the customary single tail separates it from traditional merfolk. The distinction between male and female mambubuno is a particular characteristic of the species. The male's twin tails are said to be covered in big slimy black scales, while the female's twin tails are covered in a rainbow of vibrant hues. So, if you ever encounter a mambubuno, or if you ever encounter a fish-like creature, which I think it has a human-sized shape with two tails, if the tail is covered in big slimy black scales, that is a male mambubuno. But if you find this creature with its tails covered in rainbow of vibrant hues, that would be a female mambubuno. The mambubuno's natural habitat is supposed to be a brook or river with a cave beneath its banks. And according to legends, the creature's dwelling is decorated with gold and valuable stones. That is why it is advised to be cautious if one is near any riverbanks or rivers. Why? It is said that the mambubuno uses magic to capture or lure unsuspecting individuals who get too close to the water. I'm not entirely sure what kind of magic they use. I could only guess that it has something to do with their voice, similar to what Sirena does when they lure people to the water. Now, what happens if you have been captured by the mambubuno? Once the human victim is ensnared in the water, the mambubuno will cast a spell, preventing the human from drowning or escaping. An attempt to escape the mambubuno's grasp had dire repercussions. Escape attempts result in drowning, with the victim's fate ranging from floating stiff in the water to finding their body at the bottom of the sea in a squatting position. However, the mambubuno isn't all that bad. The situation's not all bad, I think. I mean, you get to live in a gold-styled room, right? And assuming you had stayed in the mambubuno's lair long enough, and maybe you've been well-behaved, or maybe they deemed you trustworthy or worthy, they will let you go home. Because according to the research of Philippine Spirits, the mambubuno does permit its victim to go home. Now, whether or not that means it's only for a visit, I'm unsure, but there's a hope to go back home, right? It's, at least there's hope. Unfortunately, the passage of time in the mambubuno's realm and the human realm differs. A day in the mambubuno's underwater realm is believed to feel like a year in the human world, meaning that after the victim returns to their human realm, it will appear that they aged slowly. The ones in the human realm, on the other hand, are not the same. If the victim comes home, he may discover that his family has aged significantly or died. And when the victim tells his story to the people or the neighbors that they had been kidnapped by the mambubuno, it will be received with disbelief by neighbors who struggle to comprehend the experience that the victim claims to have had during his absence. So for example, if the victim was kidnapped by the mambubuno, it would feel like for them they were missing for a week, but in reality, in the human realm, 7 years have passed. And that's about it for the mambubuno. This creature still remains a mystery due to the scarcity of available information. And yeah, this one is gonna be a really short episode because there's not much information about this, but I do want to get this out to the world because I want people to know that there is a creature in Philippine folklore that has two tails and kidnaps humans as well. And although the details about the mambubuno are sparse, the fact that we acknowledge that it exists, or at least it's within our mythology, is good because at least people know, or at least whoever listens to this episode know now that there are more creatures other than the usual monsters or creatures like the sirenas in Siocoy. So I hope you learned something new in today's episode. And that concludes the 12th episode of the podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Or you can always become a Patreon member and get cool benefits. Just head over to patreon.com/tabitabipod. Or you can always donate via GCash. The information will be posted in the description. Once again, thank you so much to my dearest patrons and to you, my dear listeners. Thank you for continuously supporting the podcast. Please stay safe. This has been Ethan, and thanks for listening to Tabi Tabi Podcast. Join me next time to discuss more Philippine creatures. Bye!